We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
And so in another place in the Bible, in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, reading in the New King James, somebody asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Loving God is the easiest one. It's the easiest one because he's perfect. He never fails. He never would hurt you. He would never disappoint you. He will never lie to you. He will never go back on his word because God is faithful. And the Bible says, it's one of those verses that are absolutely amazing that you can just meditate on like the whole day, is that it says that even when we are unfaithful, he is still faithful because he can't deny himself. Like, that's amazing, you know. And he obligated himself to do that. And I think many times we need to obligate ourselves to do some stuff. You know, I'm not here to put pressure on anybody. I'm here to preach the word of God and the truth that we know and pull people into that truth, live in that truth, walk in that truth. In that love of God, the highest command, to love the Lord, and the second, which is equal, to love yourself as your neighbor. Your neighbor is yourself, you know? So everybody leaves out that part, love yourself. Everybody leaves out that part. We just kind of read it, you know, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that's really where the most problems lie. The reason why people have issues loving other people is because they don't love themselves. That's ultimately why. Because a person who loves themselves, who loves God, knows who they are in Christ, it doesn't matter how bad people treat you, you're just going to love them. Maybe from a distance, but you will love them. You will not speak evil against them. You will not gossip about them. You will not wish them any harm. You just love them with the love of God. Hey, I know Christ died for that person, so I can't be angry at that person. I can't be offended by that person because I know what the Lord has done for them, regardless of how mean and evil and selfish and whatever else they are. The Lord died for them. So who are we to exalt ourselves above the love of God? If God loves a person, we have no right not to love them. That's how we have to see things. And so last Sunday was all about loving your neighbor, going out, winning, you know, somebody for the Lord. That's the greatest thing you can do for a person, is to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. But at the same time, that's the least you can do as a Christian. As a Christian, for yourself, that's the least you should do for the Lord. Because he has gone way far for you. And how can we not go a couple of steps, you know, get in the car, drive 10 minutes, and go and bring somebody to Jesus? It's nothing to compare in comparison what the Lord has done. And so loving others is at times challenging, but that is why the Lord filled us with the Holy Ghost. So we don't have to do it in our power. We can do it by his Spirit. Like, there's nothing within me wanting to love that person, but I'm just going to let the love of God just flow through me. And I've had that situation one time where somebody broke my heart, hurt me deeply, and all I wanted is to, like, flesh out on them, you know, really let them have it, you know, for how unfairly they treated me and how they lied to me, you know? And so I called them, and what happened was, you know, I prayed before that because I'm like, Lord, you know, I just want to be an example, you know, of you. And the love of God just overcame me. And I started crying and weeping for that person that just destroyed my heart, you know. It was like the craziest thing. And so I know the reality of how it can be like when the love of God for a person overwhelms you, even if they really hurt you. You know, like Peter really hurt Jesus when he denied him 3 times. You know, Jesus had emotions. He already knew beforehand, he's going to deny me 3 times. He's going to pretend like he doesn't know me. After all that I've done for him and what I'm going to do for him on the cross, because he still died for him on the cross. He died for all. You know, that's the Lord Jesus. And the same spirit that dwells in him, he has given to us so that we can walk in love toward people. There's nothing more important. These are the greatest commands. And the Lord said, when you fulfill those, you fulfill everything. You know, there's many things in the Bible. Many, many things. Don't do this, don't do that. But if you just focus on doing that, you don't even have to worry about all the things they're not allowed to do. If it's not in love, don't do it. If it's not in love, don't say it. If it's not in love, just don't react. Take authority. Don't react. Don't act in the flesh. Don't do what you've done before. Don't go around that same mountain. Don't lift your voice against a person. Just take a second. Step in the Spirit of God. That is why the Lord has given us the baptism in the Holy Ghost. When we pray in tongues, we step into the supernatural. You can't pray in tongues and be in the flesh at the same time. And so I literally had to do that sometime when like emotion wanted to just overwhelm me because something terrible happened. I'll leave the room, I'll go in the bathroom and just rebabasi ke la rabande rabasi tell, you know, and I will take authority over that. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna give the enemy the satisfaction of making me cry about something that he's doing in my life. No way. No way. And you go against it, you resist the enemy, he will flee from you. Resisting the enemy does not mean go in your room and cry and ask, why me? Why this? Why now? That's not resisting. You know, I've quit doing that a long time ago. I used to be that person, like, God, why? You know, I'm doing my best. Why? You know, there's no point in doing that. You just start resisting the enemy, using the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Mighty to pull down strongholds, and most of them are in your own head, and we're going to get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. But to be able to love your neighbor, you have to love yourself. And I'm going to destroy this whole thing today by the power of the Word of God, because I had so much revelation about this. I don't remember when exactly in my life I came to that point where I realized that I can confidently say, I love me. I love myself. It just like dawned on me one day. Like, wow, I went from not liking myself, hating myself, wanting to die, running away from home, you know, as a teenager. Everyone goes through stuff. Nobody needs me. Nobody cares. You know, all these things. That, and then I don't like me. I don't like the way I look. I'm not pretty. Nobody will marry me. All these things that, you know, especially girls go through. But I know my little brother went through that a little bit, and I felt so bad for him. I prayed for him, you know, because he's a computer guy sitting behind the computer most of the time, not around people very much, you know. And so he's like, nobody wants to be my friend. And so I know that phase, you know, that people go through, and it's just really an attempt of the enemy to hinder you from getting revelation of who you are in Christ. And who God created you to be. And I started realizing who God created me to be when I went through Bible school. Because it's like the Word of God flooding you every single day. And the Word is like water washing you. The Bible compares the Word of God with water. And the more Word you get in you, the more it washes all the nonsense out of your mind that is not supposed to be there, that is hindering you from living in the fullness that God intends you to live in. And the essential thing is that you know who you are and you love that person. You love that person. And, you know, and I said this, I think Wednesday night or Sunday, that a couple of weeks ago I was preaching along these lines. And as I got up behind the pulpit, I had that revelation of, you know, the person that I am today was already in me when I was in that phase of I don't love myself, I don't like the way I look, I don't like this, why am I being dealt such a bad hand in life, you know, didn't have the greatest parents, wasn't born in like a wealthy family, you know, immigrants, moving to Germany, you know, starting from scratch, all this stuff, and all those kinds of crazy things. To the person I am today, it's been just a stripping away. I was already this person when I was born. When you were born, the Lord formed you in the womb of your mother. The Lord formed you when you were in the womb of your mother. This is why we're pro-life. Amen? The Lord forms you in the womb of your mother. He forms you. He's putting you together. And He does not make crap, people. He doesn't. God makes extraordinary things. God makes extraordinary things. He formed you in your mother's womb. He already made a plan for your life at that time. He gave you the life that you have today. And if we don't love our life, we don't love what the Lord has given us. We get one, and it's short. It's not long. The Bible says like a vapor. There it is, and then it's gone. Like a blink of the eye. And so we can't get caught up with all the unimportant things, outward things. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this about myself. It's in the, when you look at it in the perspective of eternity, it doesn't matter. When you get married, if you get married, when you have children, how many you have, you know, God created those things. But you can't measure each other by what other people have and what they don't have. You know, in the light of eternity, it means nothing. It means nothing. All that matters is that you live in the middle of the will of God for your life. And that's different for every single person. For one, it's full-time ministry. For one, it's being single until they're 30. For one, it's getting married when they're 20 and then launching a church. I mean, it's just different. For one, it's, you know, going in the educational field, political field, business. I mean, it's different for everybody. And some go in it as a married couple and some don't. And some made decisions they're not supposed to make and then ended up not having what God wanted them to have. But the Bible even says the Lord can restore. He can restore time even. He can restore things. There is nothing lost with God. Nothing. There's no time too short with God. Nothing. He can multiply in your life what He can do in the next 3 years, what others haven't done in 10. That's the God that we serve. He can give you ways to do extraordinary things. No matter what your situation is right now, financial situation, relationship status, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But if we don't love ourselves, we will never step into the fullness. It's impossible because you're not fulfilling the highest command and therefore not fulfilling all the prophets and all the law. And it has to start there. And the fruit of the Spirit, the first one out of which all the others come, is love. And I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5 in the Passion Translation, which you should get, by the way. It's really awesome. Do you have it? It's on the way to your house. Okay. Well, it's on the Bible app. It's TPT? TPT, yeah. It's really awesome. I'm going to read chapter 5 from verse 22. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after Him, so we may never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. I thought it was very interesting that verse 26 that we must never be arrogant, because a lot of people wouldn't say of themselves that they're arrogant. I mean, nobody is like proud of it. Yeah, I'm an arrogant person. I'm especially not a believer, not a Christian. That's not something you brag about. Yeah, I'm a prideful, arrogant person. You know, I have a big ego. That's not something to brag about. So why does it warn us from being arrogant? Now, the Amplified version uses the word self-conceited. Do not be self-conceited. New King James just uses conceited. And I'm all about looking up words because English is not my first language. And so just so I know that the word is really what I think that it means, I go and I look it up. And so this word conceited is a very interesting word. The definition of self-conceited in Merriam-Webster definition, it says, an exaggerated opinion of one's own qualities or abilities. In other words, vanity. Vain, vanity. Vanity means worthless and empty. That's what it means. So how can you be arrogant but be vain, which is worthless and empty? Okay, that's kind of a strange combo there. The thought that you have, that you are all that in a bag of chips, that's a vain and empty thought. It doesn't help you, doesn't help anybody. And one, I remember so clearly when I was a teenager, I had this issue. It's an oppressing spirit. You need to realize it's an oppressing spirit that you are not good enough, that you are not worthy. It's a lying, oppressive spirit that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. That thought that you are not worthy, you were not worthy before Jesus died on the cross. Nobody was worthy before Jesus died on the cross. Now that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins, to put value on your life, that invaluable, precious blood of Jesus. There's no amount that can pay for the blood of Jesus. No amount that comes close to the value of the blood of Jesus, and it was poured out for you. So if the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for your life, how can we say we're still not worthy? Because it's not about you deserving something. We don't deserve anything. But he gave it for free because he loves us. Because he loves us. So if you don't think you are worthy, if you don't think you're good enough, that means you think the blood of Jesus was not enough for you. And that is arrogance. That is being self-conceited. That is a vain, empty thought that the blood of Jesus is not enough for you. That, you know, and I remember being confronted with this, that actually allowing that oppressing spirit, and many people don't just allow it, and they make it part of their life, you know, they find like comfort in it, and then they call it humility. You know, I'm just being humble. I can't think too highly of myself. You know, it's actually very hard to not think too highly of yourself when you're a child of God, because we're seated in heavenly places right next to Christ. It's a very high place. Very high place. We are children of the Almighty God. We are a chosen royal priesthood, washed by the blood of Jesus, pure and holy. And thinking that is not thinking highly of yourself. It's thinking like God thinks about you. And we have to agree with what God thinks. It makes no sense to disagree with God. Makes no sense. But people do it all the time, especially when it comes to loving yourself. They're not agreeing with God. Because God loves you. And he proved it. And he paid for it. And he proves it over and over and over. And then on top of that, he gave the Holy Ghost. And then on top of that, the gifts of the Spirit and the ability to do all things that Jesus did. And then on top of that, every time we come together in his name, he's in the midst of us, ready to pour out his love over and over and over. I mean, we can never get tired of coming in the presence of God and just allowing Him to pour His love on us. And you can tell a person that already has revelation about who they are in Christ because they enter in the presence so easily. You don't even have to lay hands on anybody. They're already sitting there and God is already touching them. Already in the worship time, they're already getting overwhelmed by the goodness of God because they know who they are and that they have the right to come before God. Religion will tell you, you know, well, don't be prideful. Don't be this, don't be that. Don't ask God. That's religion. God says the opposite. Jesus said, you don't have because you don't ask. Ask in my name. Ask in my name and you will have it. Ask. He wants us to ask because He wants to give us stuff, everything. And He wants us to be able to produce all the fruit of the Spirit. And He wants to pour that out into us because He says those things are produced by the Spirit within you, not by you. So if you think, I can't produce love for that person is just way too mean. Well, good, because the Holy Ghost in you will produce love for that person then. Well, I can't produce peace in my life right now. Fine, because the Holy Ghost is the one producing the peace in your life. I really can't rejoice right now. I really can't rejoice right now. It's just too much going on. I can't do it. Well, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, He can do it. The Holy Ghost, you know, I really want that joy. And then people try to produce it. No tree has to try to produce fruit. It's just produces itself, you know. That's just how it goes. And so if we're a tree planted by the water, you know, that's the church. That's where the word flows, where we receive the word, you know. So people that don't commit to a church, they can't grow and they don't produce fruit. It's just not, they might be good people, they might love the Lord, but they're not producing fruit. It's impossible. God wants us to be rooted and grounded. God wants us to be a family. Because the body grows, you know, together. You know, all these scriptures, and I'm going to get more into that in the afternoon today for all of you guys that want to be like an active part of the body, an active part of the body, to become a blessing. How do I become a blessing to the body? Because I'm telling you, it's awesome to be blessed, but it's much better to bless. It's, you know, it's better to give than to receive. And there's always something you can give. There's something you can give. And I'm not talking money now. I'm talking about things that you can do to be a blessing in the body of Christ. So if you want to know how to find your place, you know, come in the afternoon and we will talk about that. But I love how it says that the Holy Spirit produces the fruit within you, which is divine love in its expression. So everything else is an expression of love. We have joy because we love God and He loves us. I mean, the main thing is that He loves us. He loved us first. That's why we have constant joy in our life. It's constant because the love of God is constant. The love of God never stops. And the joy comes out of our salvation. Our salvation doesn't just stop. It's not something that you just lose on accident. You don't just lose your salvation on accident. You can walk away from it. Yes, you can. You can walk away from it. You can turn your back to the Lord and go back in the world and lose your salvation. But it's not something that happens accidentally. Just because you react in the flesh sometime, you know, oh man, yeah, I spoke too quickly. Man, that was not in love. That doesn't mean that moment you lost your salvation. If you died the next moment, you would not go to hell. No, because God paid too high a price for you. Too high a price. One mistake, a few mistakes, is not going to just eradicate what the blood of Christ has accomplished on the cross. Not possible. Only if you trample the blood of Jesus, which I don't think if you react in the flesh, you know, because the Lord knows that we are all growing spiritually. The Lord knows that nobody's perfect in one day. The Lord knows those things. He talks about spiritual growth. We're talking about that in Bible school. The Lord knows where you are at. You know, if you come from a background where you have a broken home, people cussing every day, people shouting at each other every day, and you get saved, and then maybe the next day you happen to shout at somebody back, doesn't mean that God's going to throw you into hell. He knows where you're at. He knows you just got saved, okay? You have a higher accountability if you've been saved for years. High accountability. You have an even higher accountability when you start teaching. So I know when I teach, You know, I always feel that responsibility of preaching the truth, you know, the truth of the Word of God, not my ideas and my opinions or anything like that, you know, because I'll be judged for what I'm teaching. I'm very aware of that. You know, I have a fear of God in my life. But it's not a fear that will hold you back from doing something. It's a fear that it will bring the best out of you so that you do the best for the Lord. You know, there's always a balance to things. So we cannot be arrogant. We cannot think too highly of ourselves. We cannot disagree with the Lord. Vanity. The thoughts that we might have, thinking, well, maybe God is not going to touch me today. Maybe God is not going to come down in his love today. Maybe that's for next week. Those are vain thoughts. God is always pouring out. God is a God of more than enough. God is, you know, he always has things prepared for you. He always has, he has something prepared for you today. He wants to touch you today. He wants to fill you today. He wants to do that actually every day. But it's even more fun when you come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and everybody gets smashed together. And everybody is on the floor together, you know? And I had that revelation one time about the, I think it's a Proverbs that says that two are better than one, because if one falls down, the other one can help him up. And if one lays down alone, he'll be cold. But if the other one lays next to him, they'll be warm. And I'm like, hey, that's what we're doing in church all the time. We just lay down next to each other, you know? We're not, you know, everybody together is better than one alone. But hey, if it has to be just me, you know, falling out under the power, it'll be just me. Because I know that I need that love of the Lord. I know I need it. I know I need the presence of God in my life. I know I need increase in my life more and more. More and more. And when you realize that you can have that because he loves you, then it's so much easier to step into that. It's so much easier to step into that. You see, every thought that goes against the Word of God is empty. Everything that goes against the Word of God is empty. But the truth is not empty. You see, when you want to fill yourself, you need to be filled with truth. You see, people that are going out there searching for answers, searching for something to fill their life, you know, and then it turns to alcohol and drugs, and all those things are empty, and they leave people empty. You see, wrong thoughts will leave you empty. Empty of the love of God, empty of the power of the Holy Spirit, when you have the wrong thoughts, when you don't realize what the Lord says in his word about you, that you are loved. You are loved above all else. You are loved. That the Lord loves you so much so that he gave his only son. I mean, how much more could he show us how much he values us? There was no other way to show it in a greater way. There is none. I mean, no human can make it up. There is none. You know, nobody could even make up Jesus. You can't make that up. You can't. You can't make up that story. There's nothing in history that ever came close to what Jesus Christ has done for us. You can't make it up. You know, and people say, yeah, people wrote the Bible, you know, and I was like, no, you can't make that up. I'm sorry. You can't make it up. Tell me a greater love. Come up with a creative way to show a person a greater love than what the Lord has shown us through Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. That's why no religion, no faith comes close to what we have, because we are loved. No other religion demonstrate that. Nobody can demonstrate that in the way that the Lord does. You see, if you actually really hated yourself, some people say that, yeah, I hate myself. If you really hated yourself, you would not be here right now. You would not. You would not be here right now if you truly hated yourself. Why? Because the fact that you come to church, you want to hear the word of God, it shows that you put some kind of a value on yourself. If you call yourself a Christian, if you receive Jesus Christ, if you got yourself saved, okay? If you got saved, it means you loved yourself enough to not wanting to go to hell. You see, because if you truly hate someone, you want them to go to hell. You see, we hate the devil, we hate sickness, we hate demons, we send them all back to hell. I send them to hell all the time. That's part of my job. It's actually part of every believer's job. you know, to send oppressing spirits, vain thoughts and imaginations. We send that all to hell because we hate it. So if you really hated yourself, you would just voluntarily go to hell. You wouldn't go to church. You wouldn't be here right now. So you see, that thought of I hate myself is vain and empty, conceited. It exalts itself above the word of God. You cannot say I'm not lovable if the Lord said you are lovable. Who's going to argue with the Lord? You're going to argue with God? Knock yourself out. You say you're not lovable? You say you're not fearfully, wonderfully made? Excuse me? Did I make you? Who made you? The Lord God made you. And yeah, I didn't like myself when I was 19. I wasn't my best self when I was 19. I wasn't. But as I said, the me that I am today was already in there. God created you in your mother's womb. You're already the person that God has called you to be. It's on the inside of you. And people try to push it down, and people lie about it, and people say you're not this and you're not that, and then you yourself think you're not this and you're not that, and you're just digging up that person, and you're still living in the old. But the Bible says that we're actually already crucified. We just read that. We're already crucified with Christ. That's the old self that's not producing anything, that is not lovable, that is not anything, worthless, useless person is dead when we receive Jesus Christ, and a new person rises up that is holy, that is pure, that is joyful, that is, you know, full of peace, and produces all the fruit of the Spirit. It's already on the inside of you. You just have to let the Lord strip, you know, like an onion, you know, just peel by peel. You know, the outer thing is always the crusty brown part. You take that off. You know, it's like the dry. So you touch an onion, it's like all falls off, you know. And that's why people are afraid for God to touch them. You realize that? God can't touch me because then all the brown stuff falls off and it's gross. Just a very great illustration I just spontaneously got. But many times when I lay hands on people, it feels like that. They're like reluctant. They're, you know, and then there's like this fear. You can't shock God with anything. He already knows everything, but he wants you to give it to him. Get that out of you. Get that out of you. You see, when you actually hate yourself, you are agreeing with the devil. You're agreeing with the devil because he's the one who hates you. So there's God who loves you, and there's the enemy who hates you. On which side are you going to be? Yeah, I'm going to agree with the devil and hate myself. I don't think that's a great decision. I don't think that's smart at all. We know that we should never agree with the devil. We should never walk in agreement with a demonic spirit. And people, you know, are being used by the enemy to enhance that in your life. They'll tell you, yeah, you're ugly, you're useless, you're this, you're that. That's just, you know, the enemy using to empower that stronghold on you, that demonic, oppressive spirit that is going to be broken today, no matter how big, no matter how little. But no oppressive spirit can stand in the presence of God. No demon spirit can remain when there is an anointing. And the anointing breaks the yoke. And that's a yoke that we should not carry. These stupid, vain, empty thoughts that we are not enough. We're not it. We're not, you know, we cannot love ourselves. You know, it's different from being in love with yourself. I'm not talking about being in love with yourself. There, you know, there's a line there. There's people that think too highly of themselves. No, I'm talking about thinking what the Bible says about you. Agreeing what the Bible says about you. When we agree what the Bible says about us, then we can start doing what the Bible says to do. If we love ourselves, we can love our neighbor properly. If we love ourselves, we can step into everything God has for us. When you love yourself, you accept the love of God for you, and then he can make you into the person that you are called to be. And yeah, we're not all perfect. We're all a work in progress. You know, every single one. You don't have to love everything about yourself. You have to love the person that God put on the inside of you. You have to love the person that God is calling you to be. And I'm not there 100% yet, but I'm way far away from where I started 11 years ago. Hallelujah. And we have to love that process. We have to love coming into the presence of God and saying, okay, Lord, just strip away another thing. Show me what else is there that's not supposed to be there. Just, you know, help me, purify me. Burn all that junk out of me. And this is the number one thing that hinders people from entering into His presence. They feel, I can't do that. Right now, I can't receive from God because I'm not in the right place in my life. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to think, so you don't ever come out of that place. How can you come out of that place when your own power? It's only God. It's in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. We have to cast down everything that exalts itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm starting to close here. It's starting to, anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading in the Amplified Version, verses 4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. And as much as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah. So God has given us the power and the authority to get these thoughts, take them into captivity, and cast them out of us by Christ Jesus. Not by your own power, by Christ Jesus. So you can't do it without Jesus. So this is why you need to come in the presence of God. And you know, and it's a vulnerable place. I understand that. And this is very personal stuff I'm talking about right now. It gets personal. Some personal issues. But if you can't get personal in church, where are you going to get personal? If you can't allow yourself, you know, to open up your heart and let down your defenses in church, then where are you going to do it? Because there's no better place, no safer place than the church. That's how God intended church to be. It's a safe place, full of love. No judgment, no condemnation, no guilt, no shame. And if anybody tries to put that on you, that's between them and God. But I don't allow that. In Jesus' name. Everybody needs to feel the freedom that you can come in the presence of God, that you can press in, that you can receive what you need. And sometimes it means, you know, to cry a little bit. Sometimes it means to cry out loud a little bit. Sometimes it means to laugh in the devil's face and say, you can't bring me down. And just, you know, stir that up on the inside of you. And you say, yeah, I don't have that joy. Well, it's in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Ghost. No, not some natural joy that you try to produce. It's in the Holy Ghost, and He lives on the inside of you. And so some people just need to let go. Let go. We have to cast out every thought that hinders us from loving ourselves as God loves us. You have to cast out those thoughts. And I'm here to come in agreement with you. I'm here to come in agreement with you. And where two come in agreement on a thing, God will do it for them. God will, not maybe, not sometime, He will do it for them. And that is the job of the preacher, to agree with you, to agree with you, to put faith on the inside of you, to believe God for something, and then they agree with you. And then you have the contact, the laying on of hands, where the thing manifests. Amen. And when it comes to healing, then it's also laying on of hands or the oil. It's just a contact. That's why the Bible says to go, you know, to the elders, they'll anoint you with oil. So, because God knows we need some help sometimes. We need something, you know, tangible. And so the oil has no power, but when we consecrate the oil, that power of God goes in it, and then people get healed because they just needed that point of contact. And I've actually done my very first anointing oil service in the Ukraine, and over 20 people got healed. It was like the craziest thing. I've never done it before. Never, and they just kept pouring oil on my hand, and I'd just, you know, smear the people and just run down their faces, I told him to not put any nice clothes on. You know, it was a Sunday afternoon service. You know, it wasn't Sunday morning. I, you know, told them to bring something that, you know, can get oil in it. I mean, I tried my best, you know, to not have it run down. But it's just, you know, the person that was pouring it in my hand, sometimes it's just too much comes out. And it's like, okay. And I was like, flowing down. And we had testimony after testimony. You know, and we don't have oil right now, but maybe we do, but it's not necessary, really. I felt by the Holy Ghost to do an anointing service. I never done it before. And man, you saw the fruit of it, you know. But I believe today the Lord is going to break off vain thoughts, imaginations. They're going to get cast out of your life so that you never have a problem entering into the presence of God. That you never have a hindrance to receive the overwhelming love of God. Man, I could just get it right now. You know, I mean, I remember coming to the river in Tampa for the first time, and for the first couple of months, like, I didn't know how to receive because I was, you know, still dealing with those vain thoughts and imaginations. Well, maybe it's not for right now. Maybe I'm waiting for my time. And then only the Word of God, the truth, is not vain. Only the truth can, and the truth says that today is the day that God has already poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. That every time when the disciples came together, He poured out His Spirit. Every single time. It's an everyday thing that we can walk in. So if we have a revelation about His love for us, how can we not agree to that love? If we know God loves us, how can we not agree with Him? And say, okay, Lord, if You love me, I can love me. If You love me, I can love me. If God Almighty, who makes no mistakes, can love you, you can love you. You can love you. And that's true freedom, guys. That's like, I can't even describe to you. I remember I was actually here in upstate. I was visiting you, I think, with Tara that one time. And we were in his bedroom. I just started crying. I don't know if you remember that. And I think it was in my second year Bible school when all hell broke loose in my life. All hell broke loose. Everything was going wrong in my family. Everything was just going downhill. And I was sitting with my friends and talking about, I don't even know what we were talking about, but suddenly I'm like in the zone, you know, and I just start crying and they just look at me and I was like, you know, I'm just really happy right now. I just stepped into it. No service, nothing. I just, you know, in my mind, there was no lofty thing that exalted itself. No matter what happened in life, you know, I just like, no, the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. And it's just overwhelming. I just started crying. You know, and we need to have these moments. And I'm not talking about just getting emotional. I'm talking about with no hindrance, just stepping into the presence of God, guys. You know? And then we just live there. But many times, you know, I mean, we go in the natural, we live in a natural world, but we have to learn to ultimately live there in that presence. Like, you can live there and still function, but then there's the next step that you do where you don't function. You just step deeper into it. You just go deeper in that fire where you can't stand anymore. Where you have no control. Where you just give the Lord the control. And you just laugh or you just cry. You know, and many churches don't have that. And so you can be very thankful that this church has that. And one verse that I come back to all the time, and I'm really starting to close now. I'm like at the end here. I always come back to this verse. Like this year, I think I preached on it more than any other time. But Romans 8:32, I think this turned into my favorite Bible verse, actually. It says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Not some things, not some time. If he already has given us Jesus, the greatest ultimate sacrifice, there's nothing greater he could have given than Jesus. Why would he hold back everything else that's lesser? Joy, peace, breakthrough, freedom, power of the Holy Ghost, power to heal the sick. That's a lesser thing than the sacrifice of Jesus. You understand that when you understand that Jesus was given you, Jesus was given you. On top of that, he opened the way for the Holy Ghost to live on the inside of you. And then you see what is available to you. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all of God's promises find their yes and fulfillment in him. And as his yes and our amen is sent to God, we bring him glory." We bring him glory when we realize if we ask God something, his answer is yes and amen. In Jesus. So you see, our yes is in Jesus. What you need is in Jesus. Your joy is in Jesus. Your boldness is in Jesus. Your identity is in Jesus. The love for you, for yourself, is in Jesus. Because he loves you. And we can agree with Jesus, right? Who would argue with Jesus and say, "Yeah, Jesus, I know you believe that. I know you think I'm lovable, but I disagree with you." What? That's arrogant to disagree with Jesus. That's ridiculous. It is ridiculous when we understand what we have in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need is in Christ Jesus. And like for me personally right now, I'm pressing in for a greater healing power in my life so that people that come to my meetings never leave with any sickness. Because I know that brings glory to God. I know that that is in Jesus, because everyone who came to Jesus was healed. And so if that's in Jesus and I'm in Jesus and he's in me, I can get there. I can get there. And so, of course, I have to love myself, knowing that God has called me to do that, that he picked me and chose me. He picked you. He chose you to even be here today. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He chose you. He wants you. He wants all of you. And he wants to give you all of what heaven has for you. But you have to come boldly. You have to come boldly and cast down everything that hinders you from coming boldly. Expecting, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to receive today. Yes, Lord, I'm going to leave this place completely set free. I'm going to leave this place full of joy." I know I leave my church full of joy all the time. I mean, it's full of joy. Hallelujah. Because all the promises in him are yes and amen. And so I'm asking the Lord, give me more healing power. Because there's still people that came in my meeting and didn't leave healed. Now, I'm not focused on those people. I'm focused on the ones that did get healed. It's better, you know, to focus on that. I'm like, yeah, 20 people got healed. There was a few that don't. So should I stop praying for healing because some people don't get healed? Absolutely not. But I saw a breakthrough in my ministry even this year. And I don't know if you follow my Facebook, but this lady came, and thank God she didn't even tell me what her problem was. She just came for prayer. She just came for prayer. Her son brought her up. Her son brought her up after the meeting. I just did the altar call. I got people filled in the Holy Ghost by the power of Jesus. And then he brought her up. I wasn't even calling for prayer. And he brought her up. And he said, "My mom is very afraid. She got a very bad doctor's report. And she needs a miracle." And I'm like, well, you know, she's an elderly lady. Anything could be wrong. You know, it could be joints, bones. I don't know. And so I'm glad they didn't tell me what it was. And so apparently she had completely like clogged arteries. She was in high risk of a heart attack. And they said you have to get a surgery as soon as possible, like within days, because you could die. And so they gave her the options. There's two options, like one newer technology that kind of like I don't even know how they do it. They go like into the arteries and like put some fluid or something, I don't know, to like clean it out. Very risky. The other one is to cut open the leg and take out a vein and then transplant it, you know, like replace the veins, the arteries that are clogged. And so both of those, super expensive, and Ukraine's very poor country. And even though our son was wealthy, that surgery would have been like, you know, $100,000. You know, that's a lot of money. And so she thought she got a death sentence because she could never, she cannot afford it. She didn't want to put it on her son. And then what if she, you know, and the operation dies? She was just full of fear. She was full of fear. She came up front full of fear, you know. And I said, first of all, that fear is a spirit and we command it to go right now in the name of Jesus, because no believer should ever allow fear in their life. It's vain. It's empty. You're afraid of something that hasn't happened yet. It's empty. It's complete empty. It's a thought that exalts itself above God. Be afraid of that. That says the devil. And if we believe him, we don't believe God. And I laid my hands on her, and I didn't know what was wrong with her at that point. I just laid my hands on her, and I prayed for her. And at that church, they don't have catchers, so she didn't fall down on the floor. She was, like, going backwards a little bit. But if you don't have good catchers, people don't, you know, don't want to fall down and hurt themselves. So it actually hinders people from, you know, fully receiving. But she received, you know. It's not about the falling down. She totally received. Why? Because the next day, she came back with her son. Actually was staying with her son and his wife in their home. And these people, they're business people, and they build a home specifically to receive guests. They build a second level on their home just for guests. It was my own bedroom, my own bathroom, a sauna, you know, a dining area. It's all like they don't even go up there so that the person has their privacy. I mean, that's another level. That's Shunammite woman right there just building something for people. And I never had a foreigner stay there. I was actually the first one. And so I also believe because they made room for the anointing, that's why their mother received a miracle. Just like the Shunammite son died and then got raised to life again because she made room for the anointing. You know, that's why giving is involved in that thing. You know, because, again, person close to giving is close to receiving. Amen? And so they come the next day. His mother came. He drove her to a specialist the next day. And all the results came out completely clean. She has no clogged arteries. She has no problems, no need of surgery, nothing. And they brought it black on white. And I was like, what? You know, I didn't even know how severe it was, you know. I didn't even feel like, whoa, power of God, like anything. It was faith. We operate by faith. And faith is not a feeling. And I was just listening to T.L. Osborne yesterday that people believe for a feeling and don't receive their healing. We need to believe for an encounter with God. We need to believe to receive the love of God, not just a feeling. It comes with feeling many times, but it's not about the feeling. And I was believing God for that. I was pressing in. I was saying, God, I want healings that are proven by the doctors. I want that to glorify you. And that's exactly what it does. It glorifies the Lord. When we step out in faith, when we step into his presence, receive from him, and then demonstrate that to other people. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We can and we should receive all his promises. And in him, it's yes and amen. In him, it's yes and amen. Whatever you desire, whatever you dreams, and if you don't have a dream, God can give you a dream. Anything, you know, you should not live without a dream. You should not live without a vision. If I didn't have a vision, I would press in every day to get a vision so I know where I'm going with my life and go into the presence of God. You know, and don't leave until you have what you believe in God for. And don't give up if it didn't come to you the first time. It didn't come to you the second time. Be relentless. Be relentless. Just say, Lord, I'm not leaving this place the same way I came. Lord, I'm not leaving this place with any vain thought or imagination. Lord, I want to be one of those people that can just receive right away, like without trying, you know. You just open yourself up and the Lord pours into you. That is a godly desire. That is what the Lord wants. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.